gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
From California, where we're having a gay old time. Woo! The rave just ended like 2-3 minutes ago. The poppers are barely worn off.
My glow stick just burned itself out.
Oh! And this week, like, want to go to work? Okay. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Gay marriage passed! It got overturned, the gay marriage ban, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to all of that. Our friend George Takei will be coming on today.
What other talk radio show would have George Takei on as a...
Us?
I know.
Well, you know what? I was saying to somebody yesterday, because there was a lot of celebration out here. A lot of... you were saying some surprise. This was a sweeping and stinging repudiation.
It was a lot more forceful than I thought it would be.
Gay bashers, your time is passed now.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Good luck to you.
Loser.
God, it really is those people that have lost the argument in the old Western and they throw the gun at you. They're out of bullets and it's like, well, it's the children. I gotta go. This didn't, other straight marriages might. All right.
Although it's still, it's going to go to the Roberts Court.
Well, my point about George Takei, I was saying that we were talking about is this is one of the reasons I think legally, as we've talked to Ted Olson and his partners as this case has gone.
And we're going to talk to Ted Boutros tomorrow, who is Ted Olson's law partner.
Golly.
Yes. Boutros.
Boutros?
Golly.
what we were saying is one of the reasons I think legally that this all happened is because for the first time in history, we created this class of people, which George Takei is in.
Right.
Who are they legally? They're like on the island of misfit toys.
Mm-hmm.
They're this class of citizens, 18,000 couples, right?
Or, my friends Rick and Steve got married during that small...
Who got married, it's like Catholic school. Are they in purgatory? Are they neither in heaven or hell? And what? But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think that legally really pointed up that what are we doing in this country? How are we creating a second citizen, a group of citizens that are second class?
Yep.
You know, do they have certain rights, but not really? I mean, I thought the minute you and I talked about that, the minute I read, was it the Time magazine, the conservative case for gay marriage?
Mm-hmm.
I went, this is over. You listen to Ted Olson and. Legally, it just, there is no way to defend it. And, on Prop 8 people, the case was just pathetic.
Yeah.
Half their witnesses dropped out. They ended up getting two. Did you see the stuff the judge had to say about the one guy? Just like, legally. And then, the other guy based his testimony on George Wreckers.
Yeah.
Who gets unfortunately caught with the rent boy in the middle of his little gay bashing tirade. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant with expert testimony.
Sure.
Yeah.
And do you know the story behind the judge?
He
was nominated.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'll give you the fun facts. He's a liberal activist that was nominated by Ronald Reagan.
But was shot down by liberals in the Senate.
Thank you. Let me get to this. Because I know Fox News already went there, I heard, before the ruling. They're like, activist judge in California. They're all crazy out there. Vaughn Walker, I am reading from the San Francisco blah blah something paper. I don't know. Does it matter? Vaughn Walker almost lost his chance to reach the federal bench because of claims that he was anti-gay and hostile to civil rights.
That's right.
Two dozen House Democrats led by Representative Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco opposed his nomination because of his alleged insensitivity to gays and the poor. His first appointment from President Ronald Reagan in 1987 stalled out in the Senate Judiciary Committee. His nomination was renewed by President George H.W. Bush in early 1989. Clearly, another liberal activist judge. Thank you. Jeff was the first one that alerted me to that.
How awesome is that?
The most. I mean, the show is just going to explode today. We have a Face the Grayson coming up. Alan Grayson all over the news for all kinds of highly entertaining things.
It's going to be a rainbow explosion, I think.
Yes. Alan Grayson joins us in just a few minutes. John Fabian, staff writer for The Hill. He calls in to talk about the upcoming ethics trial.
Jordan Fabian.
What did I say?
John.
Well, I got that entirely wrong, didn't I?
Kind
of. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Representative Adam Smith, our good friend, Democrat of the great state of Washington, and actor George Takei is going to join us in hour three, because he's obviously been right in the thick of this whole thing since day one. So.
And he is taking,
and he's the only one that he and his lovely husband have brought me a bottle of wine as a Christmas gift.
That's true.
Merry Christmas, Stephanie. Here's a bottle of wine that Brad and I picked out for you. We hope that you enjoy it.
And he's taking time out from the world's largest Star Trek convention in Las Vegas.
I know.
To call.
We may get killed by Trekkies by the end of the show.
No,
you can't take George from us. No. All right. So lots to get to on the big show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Ken did. Oh, a lot of people hoping that I will marry Aisha Tyler today.
Oh.
Which we may have to check with her husband. But Tuesdays with Tyler, wildly popular already. Ken writes, dear future wife, Steph and Mook Persons, Tuesdays with Tyler, if it only occurs once, will have been historic. The number of drink-through-the-nose moments came faster than I've heard yet. That lady is as funny as she is foxy, not to mention damn smart. The two of you on the Larry King show with that poor right-wing Hispanic between you could only be described as a vegetable thrown to two carnivores. We did actually do a terrorist fist bump right in front of him. Because we faced him so badly, we were like, snap! Right on the lair. P.S. Do I have this right? All these folks, Hal Sparks, John Fuel, St. Lee Pop, the rest who aren't just on for a segment, but the whole 3 hours, they're not paid, are they?
Oh, God, no.
They just do it because it's so much fun?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make all of you communists?
Kinda.
Keep it up, comrades. Cannon.
No, we're just crowdsourcing.
Yes, we're communists. That's it.
We're just crowdsourcing. We're getting free work wherever we can get it.
Hal Sparks said yesterday, this is the radio equivalent now of the painting Tom Sawyer's fence.
Yes, it is.
We somehow tricked the most wildly popular and talented people in the world to coming and doing this free.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't that be fun if you could come do this? Look how much fun that would be. For nothing. Wouldn't that be great?
How do we do it? I
because it's so much fun and because we're so poor.
Well,
it's two delightful reasons in one. Hey, this might be a big day for another reason.
Why?
Speaking of freedom and equality, my leg might be free today.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I go to the doctor at 9:30. Let's form a little prayer circle. Help Mama.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Mm-hmm. Form a prayer circle around Mama. Hold her up, please.
Help Mommy.
Okay. No. So, yeah, we go do the x-ray, and then the cast might come off. It's time. I have another medical device that I just acquired yesterday. Not only am I stimulating my bone as we speak, I have a bone stimulator. Now I have an H-wave machine that my friend Dr. Dan in Chicago hooked me up with. It's a thing where you're somehow able to electrocute yourself. I don't think it's good to give to a drinker, so I'm not sure this is going to end well for me. You put these little electrode pads around you. It's a muscle stimulation machine, and it's supposed to... I'm not really sure what it does, but it gets your atrophied muscles back in shape, and it helps your circulation so that bone can heal faster. And
it sounds like a bunch of
also,
hooey.
No, it's good. They use it at my chiropractor. It's also good for pain if my back keeps going out. It's something they deliver. It looks like the nuclear codes. It's a little briefcase with little electrodes.
Your house is going to look like a nursing home.
I do. I have three mobility scooters. I have an H-wave thing. I have a bone stimulator.
Do you have a machine that goes bing?
What does that mean?
Oh, it's a line from Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
No, but I will get one today.
Okay.
What does it mean when it goes bing? I don't know.
It's just impressive. It's a machine that goes bing. Hmm.
All right. Then I will go back in that the boot thing. If I can get the cast off today, I go back in the boot, and then I can walk. And hopefully I will see how that
goes.
All right. Chris in Yankton writes about my hometown of Lackport, New York, the transit from Cheek to Wagon, Tanawanda. Somebody actually went there to see my hometown.
It's the home of world-famous
Lackport. There is someone a bigger loser than me. Somebody went to see Lackport because that's...
And there's no statue?
Yes,
no
they
street.
Noticed there was no statue of me. Staff, what? Your hometown has no statue of you? I never. Harumph, this is your Norma Desmond moment. I am big. It's the statues that got small. That's true, Chris. Where the hell is there a statue of Lockport and if there isn't one for me?
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Statues. I'm bigger than a statue. All right. This will be my next medical mishap, because it'll also end the way I assume my life will end, and that is I will die, be eaten by my dogs, and no one will even notice for several weeks.
Yeah,
you'll
get
various,
a given.
You'll get various fill-ins, because they'll do it for free.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Aisha Tyler would like to host a show.
Much better than me. You'll be like, huh, I don't miss her at all. What was her name? Michigan man, this is out of, Rockford, Michigan. Michigan man says he's grateful his dog ate most of his toe while he was passed out drunk.
Oh, ew. He's grateful?
Don't you hate when that happens? Well, there's a medical story in this. See, my dogs may alert me to my next medical malady. A Michigan man says he's grateful his dog ate most of his toe while he was passed out drunk. He says, Kiko.
Mm-hmm.
His action helped uncover an undiagnosed diabetic condition that led to treatment that could save his life. He says he went out drinking, came home and passed out when he awoke. And it's a terrier. They're persistent.
Yeah.
Get that whole damn toe off. The terrier was beside him in bed, and lots of blood was where his toe used to be. His wife rushed him to the hospital. Where doctors found a bone infection and amputated the rest of his toe. So it's a happy ending.
Yes. So it wasn't like the toe was, had a bunch of dead skin that looked like meat to the terrier. It was a normal looking toe.
He had a condition that he would not have found out about if Kiko had not eaten his toe.
That's gross, dude.
All right, I thought that was a nice story about a dog. 17 minutes after the hour. All right, back with all of the exciting details about the Prop 8, the overturning of Prop 8, how you're in California, and hop on those phones. Almost time for Face the Grayson with Congressman Alan Grayson on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. In case you ain't heard the breaking news out of California, where we sit as we speak. A federal judge overturned California's same-sex marriage ban Wednesday in a landmark case that could eventually land before the U.S. Supreme Court to decide if gays have the right constitutional right to marry in America. Chief U.S. Justice, District Justice Vaughn Walker made his ruling in a lawsuit filed by two couples who claimed the voter-approved ban violated their civil rights. Just a little. Despite the favorable ruling, gay marriage will not be allowed to resume. I know that I was watching CNN when it broke, and mm-hmm. I was like, woo! And then they didn't know immediately whether that means...
And then the judge issued the stay. It's like, oh, damn it.
Okay. I hope nobody got rear-ended in West Hollywood. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Because people might have been driving already to the...
Oh, I'm sure someone did.
To the courthouse, and then suddenly... that's because the judge said he wants to decide whether his order should be suspended while the proponents pursue their appeal. They don't have much appeal, in my opinion. That's just the personal... thing.
They don't.
In the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the judge ordered both sides to submit written arguments by August 6th on that issue. That's tomorrow.
Yes.
So when are we going to know? What could potentially happen there?
After the written arguments come in and the judge reviews them, then he could continue the stay throughout the appeals process, or he could lift the stay.
Okay.
So we just have to find out maybe tomorrow or Monday.
I heard some legal expert yesterday say that it could be 2 years before it gets to the Supreme Court.
Be.
The Supreme Court scares the bejesus out of me, can I just say, with the conservative makeup of it. But we'll see.
Well, this judge is very, very libertarian. You can't get much more right than that. So,
yeah.
Really, who can say?
Yeah.
Scalia and Thomas, they're a bunch of whack jobs. That, mm-hmm. They're social conservatives. But the rest of them, they tend to be more libertarian. So,
the fine American that is Judge Vaughn Walker said, Proposition 8 fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. Indeed, the evidence shows Prop 8 does nothing more than enshrine in the California Constitution the notion that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples. Because Prop 8 disadvantages gays and lesbians without any rational justification, Prop 8 violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Oh, there's that little bugaboo again, the 14th Amendment.
No wonder conservatives...
If we could just jettison that whole thing.
Yeah.
We could, there they go, the gays and the browns.
All right.
But
take care now.
That is very important that the judge cited that, you know, the federal constitution, because the federal constitution...
I seriously thought that's what I'm starting to think about. I no offense, our friends on the right, but I'm going... Did someone think that? We can get rid of the brown people and the gay people if we just get rid of that pesky one. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Frenzy. Go ahead.
Well, it's important that the judge cited the federal constitution, because the federal constitution supersedes state constitutions in law. And so all of these state, you know, constitution amendments outlawing gay marriage will then be overturned. As of today, they're overturned.
Right. Right.
But it has to go through the appeals process for, you know, anything to really happen.
Well, that's what I've been saying, as we've been debating this with various legal experts over this last, you know, year or two, is you just go, you can't, you're losing any legal rationale for this. Mm-hmm. It really is equality. Like, you know, you just go, oh, some things, you know, people use words as spin. It really is not spin. Like, I mean, I think that's what the other side was forced to do in this case. Prove how this is not inequality for a certain group of citizens, no matter what you believe. The ruling puts Walker at the forefront of the gay marriage debate, appointed by Ronald Reagan, of course, in an unusual move. You saw them on all of the TV last night. Jerry Brown and Arnold Schwarzenegger both refused to support Prop 8 in court. And that's the other thing that I thought was beautiful about seeing Ted Olson and David Boies on TV last night. This is not a partisan issue anymore.
Nope.
This is not a, you know, left versus right, whatever. I mean, like I say, if you read the conservative case for gay marriage, it makes perfect sense. These people out there screaming about big government and government in our lives and yada, yada. It's, you know, Ted Olson yesterday on CNN.
Actually, David and I talked about this in 2000 as we were getting ready to argue in the Supreme Court that someday we'd like to be on the same side in the United States Supreme Court. And we said someday... Right. Someone's going to come to us who will want to get married, and they'll be gay.
He went on to talk about how it's a victory for the American people. Ted
Olson. This is a victory for the American people. It's a victory for our justice system.
I mean, to me, what could be more American? This is what we were founded on. Proposition 8, a violation of due process and equal protection. Von Walker made that abundantly clear. I'm just reading different legal analysis yesterday. Judge Walker concluded his order by stating California is able to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples as it has already issued 18,000 marriage licenses to same-sex couples and has not suffered any demonstrated harm as a result. That's exactly what I was saying. That's the big point, is that legally something had to be done about that.
Yep.
You know, that's the problem with, you know, mob rule, with letting, you know, majorities, like that's what he's saying. That's why they're called rights. They're not supposed to be put to a majority vote, you know, as to whether certain people can have rights or not. That's what I was saying legally. That's what the precedent was. We have never before voted to take rights away from a group of people that already had them.
Right.
That's why this was such a big deal. All right, 28 minutes. Am I breaking a minute
You're
early?
You're breaking early this time.
I'm so giddy about Alan Grayson coming on. All right, Ted Olson again yesterday. Sorry.
We're going to fight to vindicate these rights, constitutional rights, as quickly as we possibly can. And we now have the confidence that all of the facts that could be presented by the proponents of Proposition 8, that all the facts that they could bring forth gave the judge no single reason to continue this discrimination.
And Randy Thomason, he's from the, he's from the Yes on 8 group.
Yes.
Marriage is a state jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. The voters have said twice now, keep marriage only for a man and a woman.
By the way, that was one of the most striking points. This case is about civil marriage. Religious belief has no place here.
That's right.
What it was the first, and that's a lot of people have argued for a long time. So this debate will continue this morning. 1-800-STEP-1-2, top on those phones. It's time to face the Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You should not let your gay friends tell you what to wear sometimes. That's what it comes down to. A straight man to say,
great Bazoomalolos.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. We'll be throwing out the adfabisms.
Will we?
Yeah, all morning.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
That's the only one you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not a drunk. Clearly, I think that's from. Is that from my life? From AFAB? Who can?
That's
who
from
can
your
tell,
life. That's not
who
from
can
AFAB.
Tell the difference. All right. Let's see. We are awaiting Alan Grayson. Please let it be him soon. Oh, that's my life story. Waiting. I'll just sit here and kiss my glass figurine of Alan Grayson while I wait for the good congressman to call.
Let it please be him.
Oh, Alan.
Oh dear God, it must be him. It must be him. Oh, I shall die.
He's hilarious. He was on the Ed Show yesterday on MSNBC.
Oh, was he?
And yes, and I... I just laugh out loud as he lets go his little zingers, his little eyebrow goes up. He gets a little impish gleam in one eye. It's just his
He's got the delivery
his
down.
Wit as dry as a martini. All right. I believe, by the way, one of the pathetic arguments about the gay marriage out here was the children. Won't somebody please think of the children? Or
whatever.
Something. Something.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Because, as you know, I believe children are the future. That's why I don't have any. But I'm just saying it'd be hard. It would be hard to reach this level of family values, I would think, for the gay folk. In Victorville, California, two women have been charged with misdemeanors for a fight that led to a brawl during a Southern California kindergarten graduation ceremony.
Oh.
Apparently, there is something so important in kindergarten that must be solved with fisticuffs among the, the family values crowd. All right.
You know what? If something like that is going to happen, it's going to happen in Victorville. I'm serious.
What is your point? All right. And then I have another story about a pregnant woman charged in a fast food robbery whose gun got caught in her shorts. That's
what?
Kind of family values there. Mm-hmm. It's him.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, you rakish devil, you.
I'm sorry Alan couldn't make it today.
I was just waxing poetic about you on MSNBC yesterday, as usual, how you get that impish little gleam in your eye.
Yeah, that's not me, actually. That's my evil twin brother, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I just have to say, the attacks against you are getting more and more hilarious by the moment, because apparently you sent a CD out, which cost the taxpayers, let me see here, about 9 cents.
9 cents,
a piece.
That's right. And they're condemning me to hell. They're saying I'm responsible solely for the $1.6 trillion
yes,
deficit.
Yes, that damn Grayson DVD. Members of the Tea Party.
I'm guilty.
I'm gonna frog march you off this show, mister. You members of the Tea Party have been outside your office protesting.
No, that's not right. They called a protest and nobody showed up.
Oh yeah.
My choice would be you're just that awesome, but the other thing is, or are your opponents just that pathetic? And I think it's a little bit of both. Florida Republican Kurt Kelly slamming Democratic Representative Alan Grayson, suggesting his absence during a war funding vote might mean the lawmaker actually wants American troops to die. Would you like to break some news here?
I understand his logic. I want all the troops to come home. Mm-hmm. If they come home and have a Thanksgiving dinner with their families,
yes,
they might cut themselves with a turkey knife.
Yes. And eventually they may die happy old people in bed. And then in that sense, I guess you would have achieved your evil goal, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, unlike the people on the right that often spout family values left and right, you actually missed the vote because you have 5 children.
And that's
You had a personal reason. And you've been...
Yes. Every once in a while, I have to be a father.
Yes.
Whether I like it or not.
And you also...
That's the way it is when you're a father. Sometimes you have to do it whether you like it or not.
Yeah, well, you, the thing, too, is that you've been very honest about saying, yes, I would have voted against it. I've always been very consistent about saying that I am not for these wars. That's why we talked about the Wars Making You Poor Act and all of that.
Yeah, is there any mystery how I would have voted? I said before and after that I would have voted no.
Yes, you didn't show up.
I put a statement in the congressional record saying, if I'd been present, I would have voted no.
Yeah, you didn't show up because you're a DVD-producing coward, Alan Grayson. That's why.
I didn't show up because I'm a father.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm the only member of Congress with five children in school.
I know. Okay. And I love this. Kelly said he wanted to show primary voters he was capable of turning up the volume in his attacks on Grayson. Yeah, if you can't be right, you might as well just be louder.
He's turning up the stupid. That's what he's doing. And you know why? Because he's in a Republican primary with six other Republicans, and the stupidest one always wins.
Yeah, I think even...
The nuttiest nut always wins.
I know, but I think even the biggest Alan Grayson detractor out there would go, oh, come on. Nobody wants the troops to die. You know what I mean? It just was, like, so over the top, even for Republicans.
Yeah, well, that's the way they have to be.
Yeah, that's the way they roll, as Michael Steele would say.
Mm-hmm.
So some big news, exciting news out here in California. The Prop 8 was overturned. Don't you kind of feel like, you just feel like you hear the dying gasps of the, we've talked about the, Arizona law. It just seems like the haters, their time is limited, don't you think?
I saw this wonderful tweet yesterday. It said that in the same week that the Prop 8 result was overturned, Palin's daughter broke up with Levi. The destruction.
And on cue,
yes,
the right-wing family values crowd implodes.
Right. The tweet was, are you happy, gays? Now you've destroyed the American family.
Well,
right?
You know why they broke up, because I think they knew how this ruling was going to go. So gays preemptively destroyed the love story that is Levi and Bristol.
Well, everyone knows Levi is a good-looking guy.
Mm. Yes, sirree. All right, let's...
I mean everybody.
Let's go to Nora in Minneapolis. Time to face the Grayson. Hello, Nora.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning,
Congressman.
Yes. Hi.
I have a beloved congressman up here named Keith Ellison. You probably know him.
Yes, we work together all the time.
Awesome. Awesome, congressman.
Yesterday was his birthday, not only Obama's.
Wow.
But we had a party on Sunday, so he could be there. And I took his two hands in my hand and said to him that we're going to look back on the year 2010 as the last year of marijuana prohibition.
Mm.
And I was curious if you were agreeing with me, but also I wanted to mention...
And did you sneak a little doobie into his hand when you did that, when you took both his hands?
He's got some darling sons. One of them even grew dreadlocks like I wish Obama would.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Nora, thank you for calling. I don't know. Any thoughts on marijuana, Congressman?
There was a Democrat. I'm the first Democrat to represent my district in 34 years.
Right.
Yep. And there was a Democrat who ran on the platform of legalizing marijuana in my district several years ago. He got the Democratic nomination. He lost the general election by 64-36. That's the kind of district I have.
Yikes.
So what do you think my answer is?
I understand. All right. Barbara. And then security took both of my hands and removed them from Congressman Ellis. All right. Barbara and Madison, time for you to face the Grayson. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Congressman Grayson. I just want to thank you for signing the Move On, Fight Washington Corruption pledge.
Yes.
I know that probably was a tough decision because there's going to be a lot of opposition to that.
Well, it is a tough decision because they attempt to corrupt me all the time. And I wasn't sure whether I wanted to sign a pledge saying that I would not actually succumb to that.
Well, just know that there's a lot of people out here who have your back.
Thank you.
So thank you.
And he needs it because apparently they're sending... How many men is it at last count to get you?
they're running nine candidates.
They're running nine candidates?
In the vain hope that they'll come up with something good.
That's not a primary. That's a gang tackle. That's a...
That's right. What we could do is rent a basketball court. They'll go 9-on-1 against me.
That's how much man you are. Now, Congressman, so what was I going to say? I wanted to talk a little more about, you know, the Prop 8 ruling, because I think that there's, isn't it interesting, this whole 14th Amendment thing? It is amazing. These are the party, the Protect the Constitution party, which suddenly are like, we're not so sure about the 14th Amendment. Ironically, of course, you know, you're going, somebody over there must have thought, oh, that's how we can get rid of the brown people and the gays. if we just take that part out.
I want to make sure that everyone who's listening understands what you're referring to here. The 14th Amendment specifically says that everyone who's born in the United States is a citizen and entitled to the same protections as everyone else, except for gays, of course.
Yes. Well, I think that goes without saying.
Yes. I mean, that's how the Republicans see it anyway. So the 14th Amendment specifically says that they've been nattering on and on and on for the past year and a half, these teabaggers, about how we have to respect the Constitution, respect the Constitution, respect the Constitution, on and on and on, except for the parts they don't like. And this is the part they don't like. Yeah. Why? Because the children of illegals born in this country are citizens just like you and me.
Yep.
It's in the Constitution.
Well, it's like
so they want to rewrite it to take out the children of illegals.
Well, exactly. And on the Elena Kagan arguments, it's like you're a crazy judicial activist, unless, of course, you do things that I like, conservatives. You know what I mean? It's so bare, their arguments. I mean, you can you know, whether it's John Kyle or whoever was talking yesterday. I mean, it really is amazing, right? It's just
one of these nine dwarfs running against me filed a lawsuit against me this week.
And
he said that he was filing a lawsuit because the DVD that we sent out through the post office was not permitted under the Constitution because Congress has no power over the post offices. In fact, there is a clause in the Constitution that says that Congress has power over the post offices. I'm not kidding. It's in there.
Yes. Well, and I, being a constitutional scholar myself, Congressman, I will tell you the 14th Amendment, what it actually says about gays is...
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
That's what it says. I knew he was a Rudolph fan. Congressman Alan Grayson in another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson. See you next week, honey. Stay safe.
Do I have to wait that long, Stephanie? A whole week before I get to talk to you again?
Not really. Sometimes,
it's so unfair.
Sometimes you text me or call me. You know how we are. Okay.
Oh.
See you next week, Congressman.
All right, bye.
He always makes me bite my hand. He's so cute.
You are going to be in so much trouble with the lovely and talented Mrs. Grayson.
No,
mother
it's a political,
of those five
it's
children.
A political crush. Everyone knows I never actually leave my house. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. See how I paused perfectly there for that little stanza?
Yes, for that little trill.
Oh, Lord. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Robert in Palm Springs. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, darling.
Stephanie Louise Miller, as Chris always says. You hung up on me yesterday before I could give you the fun facts about the quote-unquote mosque at the World Trade Center.
Oh, yes, please.
First of all, it's a community center, not a mosque. There's not going to be any minaret. There is going to be one room for prayers.
What's a minaret? Is that a...
The minaret is the, you know, it's the thing on top of the...
See, I thought it was a dance step.
It's basically the steeple.
And it's modeled after a Jewish community center on 92nd Street. Mm. And it's not at Ground Zero. It's three city blocks in Manhattan from Ground Zero. And Ground Zero itself is 36 square blocks.
Wow.
Yeah, so to call it the Ground Zero Mosque is a misnomer.
Well, because frankly, I think that was the whole fight, right, Robert, over the landmark statuses anywhere that debris fell. It's like, well, debris fell for, you know, blocks and blocks. Like somebody was saying, you can't, like, you know, take all of downtown Manhattan, you know, out of contention for anything because, debris hits somewhere. I mean, yeah, it's...
Yes, well, and my argument would be if you're really going to protest about religious zealotry anywhere, because of the Spanish Inquisition, I don't think there should be any Catholic churches within 3 blocks of any Jewish people living in this country.
Yeah, exactly. How ridiculous are we going to get? Right. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. All right. Speaking of fun facts, let me give you some analysis on the Prop 8 ruling.
All right.
I'm not a constitutional expert, but due to the interwebs, I can be. I can pretend to be.
I know what the 14th Amendment is, thanks to the interwebs.
Well, thanks to panty waist Lindsey Graham, I do. I know, seriously, that I'm a conspiracy theorist now, but I was like, the 14th, wait a minute, that's the one Lindsey Graham's trying to get rid of.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
That sounds familiar.
Wait a minute.
Hey.
How could we get rid of the gays and the browns? I know. Proposition 8, violation of due process and equal protection. The judge made abundantly clear. He concluded his order by stating California is able to issue marriage licenses because it already has. That's what we talked about. That said, it is highly unlikely same-sex marriages will be conducted starting today, as we already know. Prop 8 supporters have already filed a preemptive motion to stay his order pending their appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Is that the one that O'Reilly always says is a crazy bunch of liberal activists?
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, but then we got the Thomas Court that it's most likely going to go in front of.
Thomas Court? You mean the... Oh, yes. Got it. Okay.
Or the Roberts Court.
I thought
Court.
You meant Clarence Thomas. I was like, no, you I mean Roberts Court. Like,
I'm
Thomas.
Tired. I was out raving last
he
night.
He doesn't care whose pubic hairs or where.
He doesn't talk.
The Thomas Court? How do you know
the Roberts
anything?
Court.
He only has a what Scalia says stamp.
Yeah.
What Scalia said. I don't want to say nothing. Okay. When the decision of a trial judge like Judge Walker goes up on appeal, his legal conclusions are reviewed by the appellate court from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
However, Judge Walker's factual findings, this is all the fascinating legalese I learned yesterday.
Yes.
Such as the effect of same-sex marriage in Massachusetts or statistics of on thriving children of same-sex couples must be accepted by the appellate court unless they are clearly erroneous. His factual findings are breathtaking, according to legal experts, if only for their sheer depth. From page 54 to 109, Judge Walker lays out his findings, eviscerates the testimony of anti-marriage equality experts, and emphasizes the long list of statements where Prop 8 opponents conceded their factual case. That's the thing a lot of people may have missed, Chris. And a lot of points, they were just like, yeah, all right, you're right.
Yeah.
They lost the will to live, I think, at some point during the trial. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Our Exhibit A, George Record. Never mind. You know what?
They just did not come prepared at all.
Here's one thing I learned yesterday. That rent boy is cute.
Oh, my God.
He's really cute, the rent boy that George Record's. I've needed someone to carry my luggage for weeks now. Where is that guy? Okay, a few striking points. This case is about civil marriage. Religious belief has no place here. Right off the bat, Judge Walker found marriage in the U.S. has always been a civil matter. Number two, marriage is a state of commitment, not a construct in which to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another argument that never made sense to me.
That's right.
You literally would have to stop couples from getting married that aren't going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Or can't have children, or
right.
Whatever. Same-sex couple, for instance, can you imagine me trying to get married?
Good
They'd
God.
Be like, let me see your eggs. They come out in a cloud of dust.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Missy. Move along, dead egg walking. No marriage for you. Same-sex couples are just like opposite-sex couples. Point number three. Judge Walker found that same-sex couples are identical to opposite-sex couples in the characteristics relevant to the ability to form successful marital unions. What? They're like people. That seems almost like it humanizes homosexuals in some way. Like opposite-sex couples, same-sex couples have happy, satisfying relationships and form deep emotional bonds and strong commitments to their partners. Standardized measures of relationship satisfaction, relationship adjustment, and love do not differ depending on whether a couple is same-sex or opposite-sex.
Humanizes homosexuals.
You know what? I'll be glad when this whole argument can be over. Doesn't this sound like the early studies on chimps or something?
Yes. And
as we study the homosexuals, they appear to have human-like impulses and thoughts and even emotions.
Right. And don't just think this only affects California.
Yes.
This affects every state in the union. Because it is using the federal constitution as its precedent.
Yes. The number four in this particular legal analysis, domestic partnerships insufficiently recognize those relationships. That's what I think has taken people time to come around to, but I absolutely agree. Since marriage is not merely an economic union or a procreative one, for that matter, domestic partnerships that assign certain economic benefits of marriage to non-married cohabitants is a separate, unequal, and insufficient substitute. Domestic partnerships lack the social meaning associated with marriage, and marriage is widely regarded as the definitive expression of love and commitment in the United States. Thank you, Judge Walker. Yes. I'm sorry. I know people sometimes get offended, but I do. I think it is exactly the same as when we let black people marry white people. We would have said, oh, well, we're not going to call it marriage because it's not like you're real people. We'll call it something else. It's that you know, isn't that the very definition of separate but unequal?
Mm-hmm.
To say you can't have the real thing, but you here you can have the in a marriage imitation like substance.
Marriage Senka.
It's marriage like butter, movie butter. Here, have some imitation marriage like substance. 58. All right. Oh, we just booked Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, who is in town.
And she's a homo.
She has a fabulous book and CD out. Talk to her so we can continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you okay over there? What's going on?
Oh, no,
I'm good. Hang on.
Mommy.
Okay. Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Okay. Ah, big show going on. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's a little broadcast news in here during the commercial break.
A little bit.
All right. I just dropped all my show prep at the same time. Okay. Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington coming up this hour. Actor George Takei and country star Shelley Wright next hour on the big show. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Oh, hi, Jim.
That's why she's going to be on the phone and not in studio, Squeezy. All right. So we have lots to get to. Jordan, hang on a second. Am I saying this right? Jordan Fabian is a staff writer for The Hill. He joins us now to talk about all the big doings on Capitol Hill. Jordan, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
What should we talk about first, Kagan or the... You know, I have to say, I want to start with the ethics trial and Maxine Waters, because, you know, full disclosure here, I'm a huge fan of Maxine Waters. I'm from L.A. She's a... You know, I think a terrific congresswoman from out here. And I thought she did something pretty unprecedented yesterday. She says she's made two demands, right, of the House Ethics Committee. She wants the charges made public. She said release the full document charging her with breaking House rules and finish her trial before the November elections. What do you make of that?
Well, it sort of fits in what she's been doing ever since this proceeding started. When the Ethics Committee put out their charges this week, she basically said, bring it on. She said, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't broken any House rules.
Yep.
Let's get this trial underway, and I can demonstrate to the committee that I haven't done anything wrong here. She's argued that, you know, she's done a lot to help minority-owned and, female-owned banks and things like that. And
right.
This is just, like, in step with her defiance toward the committee.
Well, you know, Jordan, that's what, like I said, that I know of Maxine Waters is she's been on our show a million times, always been fighting for, you know, minority housing out here and been a fighter on behalf of, that community in L.A. for a long time. So maybe I'm biased because I am a fan of hers, Jordan, but when we were talking about these charges, we're going, this just doesn't sound, you know, I mean, like she was saying, obviously, I'm sure she's gotten a lot of people meetings. The fact that she made one call and got a meeting, you know, I mean, and it sure clearly looked like she didn't have any financial gain from it. What do you think of the charges thus far?
Well, it's hard to say. Obviously, her defenders and also her allies in Congress say that, you know, like you were saying, you know, lawmakers schedule these types of meetings all the time. All she was trying to do is help out, you know, one of her constituents, and she didn't do anything wrong. On the flip side, you know, I read through the documents this week, and there are a few things that were alarming about this case that probably could deserve some review. She got this meeting for members of the National Banking Association, but the only people who showed up, well, actually three out of the four people who showed up were representing One United Bank, which was obviously the bank that Brunson had served on the board on and had, you know, significant investments. And she would eventually help steer $12 million in TARP funds to the bank, which had been failing because they had been, you know, over-leveraged in Fannie and Freddie. So the sensitivity about the TARP money, I mean, obviously, there's a huge $1 billion, you know, billions and billions that are spent on this. I mean, both liberals and conservatives were a little bit alarmed with the size of the banking bailouts. And so when they see those funds steered in a way that some think, you know, maybe there was some personal gain there for a husband, you know, people get sensitive about that thing.
Yep. Well, you know, it seems to me, not being an expert, but even just reading the Charlie Rangel thing seems a little more serious to me. You know, what do you, because again, but he is equally defiant. What do you make of that? And what's going to happen there?
Well, Charlie Rangel is Charlie Rangel, as he says himself. I mean, he's like one of the most colorful members of Congress.
Right.
You sort of never know what he's going to say next. I agree. He's in a little bit more trouble than Maxine Waters is right now. I mean, so far the committee has come out with, you know, sort of one thing they're setting Waters on. Rangel's been charged with 13 violations of House rules and potentially federal law. And, I mean, that makes it difficult for him to you know, make a deal and sort of end this
mm-hmm.
trial. Because
mm-hmm.
if he does admit to doing this stuff, you know, he could be tried in federal court because, again, the Ethics Committee said he could have broken federal law.
Yeah. He is colorful. I'll give you that. I loved his first, was it to Luke Russert? When fired? How do you think I got hired?
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story. We were all chasing around the Capitol this week, and we all catch a mouth coming up the House floor. And obviously, you know, all the reporters have been hanging on his every word. So, you know, we all go out to him, Charlie, do you have anything to say? He goes, I have to go to the bathroom.
Charlie Rangel's got to go to the can. What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, boy, the president pushed him under the bus, though, pretty much the other day, didn't he? But that doesn't seem like it's having an effect, any effect thus far, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the president has a tough line to toe here. Obviously, you know, yeah, he doesn't want to call on a member of the House Democrats to resign. But at the same time, you know, Congressman Rangel is in a great deal of trouble. And this whole ethics issue is to be seen as hanging over House Democrats as they're going to try to defend the majority from the fall. So the president also doesn't want to be seen as he's standing 100% behind one of the members who could be in trouble and could be burning down the caucus.
Right. Jordan, you know, here's the one thing I guess I don't get is, of course, you know, on cue, Boehner pipes up and says, oh, Nancy Pelosi said she's going to drain the swamp. What about draining the swamp? And I'm thinking, doesn't this show that that's exactly what she's doing? You know what I was saying? It's like on the Republican side, they did everything they can to keep, you know, their people that have ethics violations in power, right? Whether it's Tom DeLay or Ensign or any of these people, right? And it seems like the fact that Nancy Pelosi has said, let the chips fall where they may, and we're, you know, they're having the ethics trials, doesn't that show that we are holding them to a different standard?
Well, that's what Democratic leaders have argued, and to an extent, yes. I mean, Pelosi, when she came into power in 2008, she created the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics, you know, to review all these cases. And actually, there's been some backlash amongst the Congressional Black Caucus. They say that, you know, some of these charges have been racially motivated, and they want to sort of tamp down the activity of the OCE. So, I mean, you could see the tension there that, you know, she has done things to, you know, improve the ethics process in the House. On the other hand, though, you know, there's still these major problems within their caucus. So that, and when she said drain the swamp, you know, she came to a press conference last week and said, you know, I meant, you know, drain the swamp of the Republicans, the House Republicans under the leadership of Tom DeLay, which she described as a criminal syndicate. But you're right. On the other hand, on the Republican side, there several members who have ethics problems, and they haven't been investigated, you know, like Jerry Lewis and Vern Buchanan and Gary Miller, to name a few.
Yeah,
so
if you're pardon my partisan stance here, but I'm going, let me see, John Ensign banged some guy's wife and then had his parents pay him off, and I don't know, Maxine Waters made a phone call to get someone a meeting? Like, you know, you just are, whatever, we'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about the Elena Kagan nomination. It seems like, to me, kind of a snooze as these things go. She's set to be confirmed today, correct?
Yeah, she is set to be confirmed today. C-SPAN actually just came out with a whip count yesterday, and they had over 61 members saying yes. So that's a filibuster-proof majority. So she appears on the way to being confirmed. I actually did an interview earlier this week and sort of pointed out that, yeah, this has been an oddly non-controversial Supreme Court nomination process. And usually you see these things, you know, blow up in the media, the A1 story, leading the evening news. But that's hardly been the case. I mean, the storyline here inside the Beltway was that this process, occurring in the summer, right before the midterm elections, so it had a huge impact, but it really hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, boy, you got the same old bag of tricks, right? You got John Kyle accuses Kagan of lying, just like he did with Sotomayor, which, I it's like you're going, what? I mean, it really is such a little show that doesn't have any. John Cornyn, didn't he kind of make a land speed record for self-contradiction? He attacked activist judges, then essentially attacked her for not being for being insufficiently activist. I mean, it really is.
This confirmation, the hearings have been watching like, it's like watching grass grow or watching paint dry on a wall. I mean, there hasn't been really much drama to it, even though, you have Republican senators opposed to her and then, Democratic senators in support of her. There hasn't been many really huge exchanges. It's weirdly been assumed that she would just pass muster and she'd be confirmed. She called this confirmation hearing, this confirmation process vapid back in 1995, and that's exactly what it's been. I mean, she's kind of like ducked questions about her judicial philosophy, and, she's sort of given like pretty milquetoast answers, and that sort of leads to a quite boring process.
Yep, absolutely. Jordan Fabian, staff writer for The Hill. Thank you so much for your time and checking in with us on what's going on in Capitol Hill. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
You too.
Thanks
there he goes,
me.
Jordan.
The problem with Democrats is they have a conscience. There's wrongdoing on both sides. Oh, yes, we'll take care of that. We're sorry.
Oh, we're so sorry. You're right. Dan Rostenkowski used the wrong stamps. And Maxine Waters used the wrong phone when she made a phone call.
I mean, of course they should go after Ensign first. I mean, what the hell?
Maxine Waters thing, I'm going, I think I could be charged with several ethics violations. I help friends all the time. In ways I'm not sure are appropriate either. Who has done that? Yes.
What have you done?
Really? Interesting.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, who hasn't made a phone call or gotten someone a meeting or tried to get someone
Stephanie
a job?
Miller legal department would love to hear about
Yes, if I could afford a legal department, I might be in trouble with them. You know, we lost Jacoby and then Myers had to go too.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Because we couldn't get him to work for free like everybody else.
Like Aisha Tyler, Al Sparks, and John Fugel's thing.
Someone made the point, Jim, we're almost like a communist organization. Everybody does it for free just because it's fun. Yay!
For the good of the show.
Yes. How about who's with me? Nobody. Okay.
Well, apparently a bunch of people. We have regulars every day of the week now.
Dan in Buffalo has some cautionary.
About Thursdays with Thad.
Thursdays with Thad Allen. That was kind of a lead balloon as trial balloons go.
Down the pipe mouth, just like that. The water bag.
The pilot didn't go well for that.
Yeah, we threw that against the wall. It didn't stick. No.
Dan in Buffalo has a cautionary tale about Mama's latest medical device. I have an H-Wave, which I'm going to electrocute myself with later. Hello, Dan.
That's exactly what you're going to do. Just follow the line of Spinal Tap. Do not set the volume to 11.
11, no. Not 11. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, it's a woo. It's a muscle stimulator, Jim. It's supposed to get my atrophied.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Today, I might have leg equality. It might be leg equality day here in California. I might be getting my cast off today, and then I will have, well.
No, but then you'll have a boot. That's not too equal.
Well, both legs will have equal rights, essentially.
No, it's separate but equal, because one will have a boot, one will not.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I may just drink and electrocute myself with my H-Wave.
Since it's your right leg, it'll probably be a jackboot. You'll have to be an UGG.
I can walk, Jim. The point is, my friend, or
Electrostim.
Or as I
call
you.
Has it rocked?
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, baby, I was thumbing through the dictionary, trying to find words to describe you. I found one. You know what it is? It's
Stephanie Miller.
Where's my glow stick?
Oh, boy, Jim. Chris has set the music on auto gay this morning. 25 minutes.
Day.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Gay is on afterburners now.
It's on Turbo Gay. Set it to Turbo Gay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Chicago. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'd like to talk to you about the 14th Amendment.
Okay.
The first sentence basically says it all. It does say all persons born or naturalized in the United States, but the rest of the sentence says, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Wouldn't an illegal immigrant be avoiding the jurisdiction thereof?
No, they are in the jurisdiction, whether they are here legally or not.
You're avoiding it. If you are in the jurisdiction,
it's like the Twilight Zone. You're in it already.
You would be registered and trying to get here legally. You wouldn't be hiding from the jurisdiction.
No, it says absolutely nothing about that. It says subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That's
correct.
All it says. And so,
right, but you're not subject to the jurisdiction if you're avoiding it. If you're hiding from the jurisdiction, you're not in it.
You're saying right, subject to the laws of the country.
Right. The jurisdiction is not the matrix, for God's sake.
Well,
it just refers to...
His point is you're subject to the laws of the country.
Yeah. Right.
If they're illegally, then...
But that has no bearing on a child that's born in the United States.
Or a calf, if Lindsey Graham is talking about it.
Mm.
Something that you might drop, like your keys or your wallet, or a litter of kittens. Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. You know, unlike the boner who always sees his Rob Roy as half empty, Alan Grayson is freaking awesome.
Isn't he?
I think everybody should give to his campaign.
He seriously makes me bite my hand every time he comes on. He's so cute.
You know, I gave to his campaign after he did the health care chart skit. And another thing is you can sign up to get emails from him.
Yeah.
And they are so freaking delightful. I mean, he is just... I'm always speechless when it comes to it. I can't even call in when he's on because I'd be all fumbled and
I know.
Whatever.
Well, listen, I am, and I have to host the show. I'm all fumbly and blushy and girly.
Everybody, get to his campaign and anyone else that's even close to like him, like the wiener. So,
all right.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you.
He makes Republicans' hair catch on fire.
Yes,
the that they
that's what's
hair.
Great you know,
because,
about him.
Because he's funny. And
go to congressmanwithguts.com. And once again,
funny and gutsy.
Yeah, she's right. Our wiener is way better than their boner. Let's go to John in Traverse City, Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about the 14th Amendment here real quick, but I wanted to let you know I got turned on to your show about 3 weeks ago. YouTubed you on Tuesday and got turned on by you. Wow, I didn't think you were that good looking.
Awesome. What?
I'm serious.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But
okay.
It just
you tuned on what?
I got turned on to your show about 3 weeks ago. YouTubed you and got turned on by you. On
oh,
Tuesday.
Really? Really?
There
you get you like that sort of political porn? You like watching
I was just gonna. You know, if your leg's not feeling better, I'll come out there be your personal trainer, and all you have to do is pee on my foot and play loops of Glenn Beck, calling him a douchebag. You know, that's the only compensation that I need.
All right.
That'll work.
You know what? This relationship has turned weird much sooner than most of mine do. But
it's a throwback from Tuesday.
All right. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Yes. Go ahead.
But it just cracks me up. You know, like especially with the Arizona law, the gay marriage, anything that these so-called libertarians or anybody else, these conservative people don't like, they want to throw that out. I mean, just like with the Arizona law, the Fourth Amendment prohibits police officers from asking passengers for their identification.
Yep, I hear you. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All the good men are either gay or have no face.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's great to be on, as always.
Ah, thank you for coming on. So, you and I always like to talk economy, because that's really, I think, what everybody's, what's on everybody's mind is the economy and jobs. I know tomorrow we're going to get some new numbers, right?
Yes.
And what are we hearing? Anything about that yet, or...
Well, you know, I'm sure there's estimates out there, but I've learned those estimates are not close one way or the other.
Right.
So I always like to wait for the actual numbers. But yeah, I do think we've seen some signs. I mean, you saw, I think yesterday you had much better manufacturing numbers than were expected, and you're seeing some signs that the economy's coming back. And look, as Democrats who have been in charge for the last couple of years, I think the case we have to make is, number one, as President Obama said a while ago, the Republicans drove the economy into the ditch. Now they want the keys back. We cannot underestimate how far down we were in 2008. I mean, we had negative growth of over 6% for about a little over 6 months. I mean, we were in very, very bad shape, and we're coming back up now. But it's going to take time. And the Republican answers of more tax cuts and gutting every single aspect of government spending are what got us into this mess in the first place. And we should continue to make that case strongly that we're not going to get better if we go back to the very ideas that got us into this hole in the first place.
Well, exactly. I saw your friend and mine, Republican Mike Pence, I think, on MSNBC the other day, and really, when pressed, they can't think of any ideas that are different from Bush. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
I think you tell me what this means. This is the transcript. He said, "Well, the vision for Republicans going forward is to produce pro-growth tax policies. We'll get this economy moving again, but to really practice what we preach about fiscal discipline and entitlement reform, we have pro-growth tax release going forward. We've got to get back to basic spending discipline, the principles of limited government." What does that mean, that gobbledygook?
Well, I think what it means is what we got for the last 8 years, which is, they're not going to place any reasonable, controls on spending. They're going to cut taxes massively, mostly for people who make a lot of money. They run the deficit up and create a situation where increasingly, you have a small group of people who are doing very well and a much, much larger group of people who they say, you're on your own. That's what President Bush's economic policy was. The Republicans followed right along with it. It certainly didn't get us to anything approaching fiscal responsibility, and it didn't help our economy at all, and it's the exact same mantra. We, on the other hand, are trying to figure out how to deal with global competition, how to deal with the collapsing economic system. We actually passed reforms of the financial system that had so much to do with burying us in the economic mess that we were in, financial reform that the Republicans steadfastly opposed. They're against fixing the problem and for going back to the way things were before it all fell all over us. So I think it's a pretty clear choice.
Well, I mean, and everybody, I'm sure you've heard about this, is talking about David Stockman, who was President Reagan's director of Office Management and Budget, wrote, "If there was such a thing as Chapter 11 for politicians, the Republican push to extend the unaffordable Bush tax cuts would amount to a bankruptcy filing." As has been echoed by Alan Greenspan. I mean,
well, the thing is, and it goes further than that. There was this brief little period about 6 months ago when Representative Paul Ryan had his, his economic plan that they were going to go ahead and hitch themselves up to. His economic plan was basically to privatize Medicare and Social Security, get rid of the estate tax, get rid of the capital gains tax rate, take the top rate down. I could be wrong on this, but I think it was down to 20%. So basically, his economic plan was to dramatically reduce taxes even further than existed under the Bush tax cuts for the very, very wealthiest of all Americans, reduce it even further, bury us deeper in debt, and leave no safety net whatsoever for the rest of us. Now, quickly, the Republicans have sort of stopped talking about that, but it's still out there, and that's still what they want to do, is go much, much further even than what David Stockman's talking about. And let me be clear, I don't think that raising taxes is the answer to our problem. I just don't think that this Republican philosophy of give as much money as possible to the wealthiest people in this country, eliminate as many regulations as you possibly can for every single corporation, and then hope those two groups of people take care of the rest of us, I don't think that's a good plan, and I think history has proven that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, so 38 Senate Republicans voted to filibuster a deficit-reducing jobs bill. They're the ones screaming about the deficit. So, once again, two Republicans, right, Collins and Snow, voted to invoke cloture and end the ongoing filibuster. The rest of the Republican caucus voted no. I mean, 38 Republican senators vote against a deficit-reducing jobs bill. You know, I mean, tell us what's happening in the House. Nancy Pelosi said she's going to call the chamber back in a session next week to finish the jobs bill, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been told, is we're due to come back. I think we're shooting for Tuesday. So I'm preparing to return, and most of my colleagues are as well, to get that passed. But that's the critically important point. As Democrats, we understand that we've got a deficit and a debt problem that we have to get under control. We have to spend money more wisely. We're going to have to make cuts. We're going to have to find ways to get a more fiscally responsible budget. But we've done that, and the jobs bill is a good example. We find places to make reductions, to make savings, while we also make the investments necessary to get our economy going. The Republicans are just like, we don't care where you spend the money. See, they think that no matter what government money is spent, doesn't make any difference. So cut it 15% doesn't matter. We think that it matters. Yes, we have to be fiscally responsible. Yes, there are programs we need to reduce. There are ways we need to get back to a balanced budget. But here we come with an idea that's actually going to save money, be more fiscally responsible,
and
also save tens of thousands, arguably hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yeah, save teachers' jobs, help seniors and children, as Speaker Pelosi said.
Yeah, no, and that's the type of, you know, thoughtful approach to policy that we're trying to offer. The Republicans, you know, they go for simplicity and they hope it works, which is basically government bad, private sector good, and that's about all they've got. And it's really a lot more complicated than that.
Well, I love, Mitch McConnell, did you see him on TV? He said he doesn't want to scoop himself, so he refuses to detail any sort of GOP agenda. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, well, you know, and obviously, sometimes they get caught. Peter King, your colleague, said, you know, I don't think we should lay out a complete agenda. John Cornyn and Pete Sessions, they failed to name a single specific policy they support, if you saw on Meet the Press. You know, when he was pressed to say, what do Republicans stand for? So Mitch McConnell, he said, I think we clearly do need to make sure Americans know what we would do and what we're going to make that announcement in September. So the host says, well, you have an opportunity to spell it out now. Well, I'm not going to scoop myself. We'll be making that announcement. I mean,
well, I understand, because the problems that we face in this country are very, very difficult. You know, when President Obama walked into office, as I mentioned, the economy had just lost about $16 trillion in value, while at the same time the Republican president, Republican Congress had managed to rack up debt even while the economy was going down. We had a health care system that was completely out of control, costs going up as much as 35-40% for people. We had a financial system that was speculation run amok, that was damaging many, many aspects of our economy. And any effort to sort of step up and try to solve those problems was going to be controversial and take criticism, which we have. But I don't think you can think of a president who did more of exactly what he said he was going to do than what Obama did on health care reform, on Wall Street reform,
I agree.
On the stimulus package. And I guess if you're a Republican looking at that and you've been, you know, bashing away and criticizing us for as long as you have, you might say, well, gosh, I don't want to step into that mess. I don't want to offer an idea. But that's not leadership. We've got tough times, and you're going to have to step up and take on the criticism, prove your case, show what you're going to do, and that's what we're going to try to do. And the Republicans are going to try to hide and say, don't look at us, blame them.
Congressman, that's not entirely fair. They're not the party of no ideas. According to Michelle Bachmann, they should just issue subpoenas is all they should do. if they take, so it's not like they don't have any ideas.
I said, they want to make sure that the absolute wealthiest people in this country pay even less than they are right now. So that too is an idea.
That's an idea, an awful one, but still.
Right, and let me just say, I don't think we should raise taxes on, you know, the people who are the wealthiest in this country. I just think that back in the 90s, you know, when the top tax rate was 39%, the capital gains rate is even lower now at 15% than it was during the 90s. And it seems to me that during the 90s, the wealthy people know we all did very well. So I'm not talking about, you know, the whole soak the rich, let's bring back a 90% top tax rate.
Who are you talking about, Kemosabe? I've always been a... gutter snipe here in radio. But anyway, I get your I get your point.
No, but the thing is, it's a question of balance. The Republicans have no sense of balance, and they are ducking the toughest issues that we face out there.
You know, Congressman, you raise a really good point, and Bill Clinton used to say it best, right? The rising tide lifts all boats, and that is exactly the way things were.
And we got to get back to that.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Adam Smith of the great state of Washington, always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
President Kennedy, by the way, who said that first.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry, I didn't.
He was quoting President Kennedy.
So Mitch McConnell, Jim, the whole, he doesn't want to scoop himself. He doesn't want to tell us the plan now. He'll wait till September. I'm guessing once again, we're moving too fast for Yertle. Yertle the turtle once again is stunned. Everybody's...
Everyone's moving too fast. How am I supposed to keep up when I'm lying here in my shell with my legs flailing uselessly in the air? And no one will slow down and feed me any lettuce. It's just too fast.
They were rushing him the other day. He said September
slow
is when he will come up with a Republican.
Wins the race. I've always said it.
44 minutes after.
Can I do a tease?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you how Hal Sparks is a complete hero when we come back.
Well, there's so many
reasons. There's some breaking news about what Hal Sparks did last night.
Really?
Yes.
He saved the world? He cleaned up the Gulf? He stopped World War III?
He plugged the... with as prolific a dater as he is, I figured he's the one that plugged the hole finally. Hal Sparks plugged the hole in the Gulf, didn't he?
No.
Okay, it's something else. We'll find out what it is.
But it's something very heroic, and I'll tell you what it is after the break.
Wow.
He plugged the hole. 45 minutes after the hour.
Well,
back
in his spare time, he does that a lot. But...
All right, we'll be back with all of that in Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You must think that I'm just crazy. You only knew what your word had me do. This is a heart attack. You're giving me a heart attack. Heart attack.
It's a jaunty song about myocardial infarction.
But it has meaning.
Set to a MIDI.
50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It is. It's breaking Hal Sparks heroic news. He saved a man's life last night at LAX.
Well, as far as we know.
That's the story I'm going with. I don't know what's going on with my headphones. I'm slowly going deaf is my latest medical malady. I might get my cast off, though.
Hey.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. On TMZ this morning, comedian Hal Sparks may have literally breathed life back into a complete stranger last night by performing CPR on a man who collapsed at LAX airport. According to a person on the scene, a man between the ages of 60 and 70 toppled over in the Delta terminal at around 11 p.m. Oh, who hasn't done that?
Especially in the Delta terminal.
Ugh. We're told that Hal rushed to the man's aid and began performing mouth-to-mouth. You see why? Because he's secure in his manhood. He's already been on Queer as Folk, even though he's a straight man. So see? How many people have probably died because a lot of straight guys don't want to look gay? Do you see what I'm saying?
Come on.
He began performing mouth-to-mouth while a woman performed, I'm guessing the woman was with Hal, if history's any guide, while a woman performed chest compressions. Medical aid showed up shortly after the man was taken away. Hal tweeted after the incident, just did CPR for the third time in my life. What a night. When they took him away, he was breathing on his own. Hope he makes it. He later added, everyone needs to take a CPR class. Out of 200 people, only two of us knew CPR. Okay,
wow.
Enough preaching. I need a nap. So the little hero went to take a nap. Aww, then.
And we hope the guy's okay.
Yeah, we do.
I had CPR class when I took scuba lessons about 100,000 years ago.
That's a good point. I think most of us don't know. And plus, I'm an emergency spaz. I'm the last person you want to be with an emergency because I'm just no.
I took CPR when I was a lifeguard oh so many years ago. I was a chubby lifeguard, but I was a lifeguard.
Well, who could you have saved?
Come on!
Well, you probably would have jumped in the pool and all the water would have...
No way they can drown.
Look out! Husky boy's doing a cannonball! Okay, never mind. The whole pool's dry now, so the guy's not drowning anymore.
Nonetheless, I learned CPR, but it's been a while.
After you worked at Busch Gardens in the Lederhosen.
This was after. This was after.
You do have to be careful with chest compression, because if you do it wrong, you can, or if you do it right, you can break ribs. Or break off the, I think it's called the xiphoid process, which could like go right into the heart and then.
Yeah, and Husky Boys definitely should not jump on somebody's chest in an effort to save them.
Okay, Miss Airplane Cleaner.
I just love your Husky Boy stories. I was a loser, too, I'm just saying. I was also a Husky loser. I got too fat for my kimono. As I cocktail waitress in at Fang Lum. Okay.
I was also on the swim team that summer. And I did, I came in. Last. I got a lot. I got a few participation ribbons.
I was I was in a synchronized swim show when I was a child with Lori Nodine, who actually could swim and do a lot of those tricks. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really synchronized because all I could do was that oyster thing. I just did the.
A strong swimmer.
Hey,
exactly.
You. I know you. I know you.
Yeah, an oyster is where you just collapse and fall to the bottom of the pool. You collapse your body, and that's it's called an oyster. And so I don't have any idea how this happened. So she did all these cool tricks, and I just did that. And they were like, well, this isn't really a synchronized routine. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything because I'm not a strong swimmer. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, though. I can dive into right-wing world. I can do that. Here we go. Cannonball! Okay. Why did I think the Fox and Friends would not be a fan of the 14th Amendment?
Oh, really?
Yes, Jim, the constitutional think tank that is Fox and Friends.
Republicans want Congress to work on some other form of constitutional control, that being the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, basically the Anchor Baby Amendment. And that's where a lot of Republican congressmen now coming forward saying we should rethink the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. In fact, it's good to get rid of all of them except for the Second Amendment.
We need to rethink. And exactly. Let's just blow holes in all the other amendments with the Second Amendment. We need to rethink anything that might benefit the Browns or the gay.
In fact, let's scrap the whole thing and go back to medieval times. It'll be so romantic and great food. And picture photo ops.
Yes, it'll be like that big banquet with the guys on horses. What's that thing called?
The what?
Knights of the whatever that restaurant you go to.
You mean
medieval
times. That's what I said, medieval times. Yeah. I just said that.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know you meant the restaurant. I thought you actually meant the...
Well, yes, that's what I meant. I was making a joke.
Yeah, a double entendre.
You missed both
meanings.
What?
No, they're going back to the time where there were like 5 trillionaires and serfs everywhere.
Yeah.
There you go.
Coughing up lungs.
All right.
Help, I'm being repressed. I give away.
Noted theologian Glenn Beck now joins us.
They're freaking out. They have used religion and they have had a cover. And the cover is being torn off.
What?
And the people of faith are not going to put up with this perversion. Mm. They're not going to do it.
No.
You're not going to pervert that into Jesus wants the government to do everything. That is how religion has been destroyed in every country that doesn't have religion anymore.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's it. He's talking about the crazy contention that Jesus sounded kind of like a liberal, Jim.
Yeah.
Were those loaves and fishes and things were free, weren't they?
Whatever you do, the least of these you do unto me.
It was a entitlement program. Mm. Mm-hmm. Loaves and fishes.
Jesus wants you to take a gun into church and blow away the infidels.
Jesus wants you to use the communion host as a clay pigeon. Body of Christ. Oh! All right, Mary Madeline. Oh, heavens. I talked to her in person at a party in New York recently.
Was she as odious and were her angles as sharp in real life as they look on TV?
Yeah, it was like the Edvard Munch painting.
But this is pretty much a stretch of that clause and finding rights where they don't necessarily exist and what's going to end up happening, which always ends up happening. A sorry thing to be having to happen in this campaign season is that it's all going to turn political. This isn't a civil rights issue. It's distinctly different in the political arena, which is where it's going to get batted around. And it's just not something that is going to be helpful in a cycle that is otherwise devoted to what needs to be affixed to this economy.
Oh, good. Gay bashing is back. We can use gay bashing.
She needs to do a show with Laura Ingraham. That'd be great.
You two and your Laura Ingraham impression, it always sounds like someone has had a cardio event and fallen on their horn on the 405.
I've been crawling on my horn on a 401.
Yeah, equal protection under the law is a bad thing.
I think if she called 911, they'd just hang up on her. Yeah. Oh, Christ. I don't, Jesus.
It's a joke, right?
I don't, you're on your own.
You're beyond help. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you have to talk to the person we send to help you?
All right.
Okay. We gotta go.
I'm sorry.
We gotta go.
I got stuff to do.
Let's think about the fact that James Carville and Mary Madeline have sex. If you're icked out by gays. All right, they're 58 minutes after the hour. Back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show with the rave just ended. The overturning Prop 8 party, my glow stick has just gone out now. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Tommy in Columbus did. Steph, the breaking news, India's to launch a gay condom. I don't know if it's in honor of, Prop 8 being overturned. Leading Indian latex manufacturer is developing the first condom specifically designed for gay men called Spice Up.
Oh, yes, Spice Up. Spice it up. You don't want your condom to be very spicy, though. That may be like sticking your lingam into a lamb vindaloo. Oh, no, no, no. You do not want to do that. Don't ask me why I know.
Oh, I read that too late. P.S. Jim, please don't do an over-the-top Indian accent with Indian music in the background talking about tandoori chicken and chutney. Sorry, I read that too late. Thanks for that, Tommy. All right.
Speaking of which, I just learned how to make a nice curry a couple of weekends ago. Mm. I love curry.
How interesting. Okay. Listen, it is not often we get to beam someone up directly from a Star Trek convention, but we had to talk to George Takei this morning as we are partaying out here in California with Prop 8 just being overturned. George Takei joins us now. Good morning, George.
Good morning from Las Vegas. How are you?
You know, listen, I don't want to be mobbed by angry Star Trek fans that we've taken you away from.
No, not at all. I'm not on until 10 o'clock, so we're in good shape.
All right. So, George, you must have been, overjoyed like many of us were yesterday at Prop 8 being overturned.
Brad and I were indeed overjoyed and relieved because, you know, there was an element of tension, although we felt very, very confident that Judge Walker would rule in our favor because, the defense put up by the pro-Proposition 8 people were so lame,
right.
All those testimonies. And we celebrated last night by popping open a bottle of champagne.
Yes, their case, unfortunate breaking news about George Reckers and his rent boy in the midst of one of their primary witnesses for the Yes on 8 people, right?
Exactly. And, we had a fantastic team. Ted Olson, a conservative Republican, and David Boyce, who were adversaries in the 2000 presidential determine who was going to be the president, and Ted Olson prevailed. But in this case, they're both teamed up together. It's a historic team, and that was a historic decision that I think is going to continue on for quite a while yet.
Well, George, you know, we had mentioned that, you know, I thought legally, as we've talked to Ted and his team throughout this whole case, that one of the, you know, the legal complications that were created were people like you and Brad that got married. You were one of the 18,000 couples, right, that got married. When it was legal here, and then we created this whole legal second class of citizens, didn't we? And you know,
exactly.
So something had to be done legally, right?
You know, we had three classes of citizenship in California: heterosexuals who could get married and divorced, and married and divorced, and then another group who benefited from the marriage equality ruling of the Supreme Court, who could get married, but once we got if we should get divorced, we couldn't get remarried again, and another group who were denied marriage altogether. I mean, it's craziness. It was really.
So-
couldn't stand that.
Right, but I mean,
situation.
I think in a way it was a good thing because it really pointed up the legal issues here that you go, this is about equality. You cannot have American citizens who all have a different sort of set of rights.
Exactly that. I mean, you know, we have a constitution, certainly in the state of California, but the United States Constitution, and that's where it's ultimately going to go. Because, you know, the pro Proposition 8 people, their argument was primarily based on the Bible, and I respect their belief in their Bible.
Right.
But we have many, many different faiths in California and in the United States, and no one faith can write their faith beliefs into civil law, which applies to everybody, regardless of faith. You know, I mean, by going by the pro Proposition 8 people's argument, then I could write my Buddhist faith into civil law and make them abide by it. That's not the American way.
Well, that
they're advocating is really a non-American way.
Absolutely, and that seems to be the number one relevant fact that Judge Walker found. Marriage is and has been a civil matter subject to religious intervention only when requested by the interveners. That's pretty key, right?
Exactly, precisely that.
I love the other, you know, as I've gone through some of these legal analysis, you know, marriage as an institution, he ruled, has changed over time. Women were given equal status. Interracial marriage was formally recognized. No-fault divorce made it easier to dissolve marriages. So, you know, I think he really framed it that this really is a progression of civil rights.
Exactly. You know, I mean, look at the history of the United States. I mean, the ideals of our Constitution were glowing, shining ideals when the nation was founded. And yet, the people who wrote those ideals, who articulated those ideals, kept other human beings as slaves. You know, at the time the United States was founded, on those great ideals, there was no role for women in the institutions of American society. And here we've come to this point where we have an African American as the president of the United States, women on the Supreme Court, a Latina on the Supreme Court. You know, we have changed.
Right, and you're on a chicks radio show, for God's sakes. This couldn't have happened.
You know, and I never thought of it, but yes, you're right. At one point in our history, this would have been shocking. It would have been revolutionary. A woman having a voice on American radio?
Yeah,
shocking.
Shocking. Now, George, so tell us, what is the status of your marriage to Brad legally? What happens now? They filed a stay. What's the status and what's the time frame?
Well, when the California Supreme Court ruled on Proposition 8, they said that the marriages, the 18,000 marriages that happened during that brief window, stand. So our marriage is still very valid. We're advocating strongly because we want everyone to be equal. I mean, we're talking about marriage equality, and yes, we have ours, but we want our friends who want to get married to have that same right.
But, George, where are things legally is what I'm asking, because they're going to hear arguments soon, right, in terms of, you know, will marriage be able to start immediately, perhaps, depending on how this stay goes?
Well, I guess on Friday the papers are going to come in on an appeal to the appellate court. So, and which, you know, that certainly is going to happen. So, I think that Judge Walker indicated in his ruling that it will be stayed until the whole thing is resolved ultimately and with the Supreme Court.
Are you nervous about the Supreme Court? I am, with the conservative bent that it has taken in recent years.
There's one Supreme Court justice who's the key, and that's Justice Kennedy. You know, and he has a history, a pattern already that's been established of fairness and decency. I think, you know, I like you, am a little anxious about the decision, but I think it's probably going to be a five to four decision in our favor.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's, you know.
Boy, what a day that's going to be.
Oh, that's going to be a fantastic day when Kennedy votes with the fair-minded
Don't you love how they're trying to spin Judge Walker as some crazy judicial activist that was appointed by Ronald Reagan and
exactly.
Nancy Pelosi thought was not sufficiently gay-friendly when he was nominated?
I think he was appointed by George Bush the First.
Yes.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he Reagan nominated him. Right, and
he nominated him to the courts, but to the district court, it was George Bush, wasn't it?
Yes, George H.W. Bush. But right. my point is that he was opposed at the time by Nancy Pelosi and others because she didn't think that he was sufficiently gay rights friendly. So he didn't make it under Reagan. He made it under George H.W. Bush. You're correct.
That's right. And so on that, same count, I'm hopeful that Kennedy will vote on our side on the Supreme Court.
Right. Well, I was hoping you were going to have another ceremony because, as you know, sadly, my invitation was lost to your first ceremony.
Yes,
I'm not sure what happened to the whole flower girl thing I was supposed to.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Shatner complains that he didn't get his. He got an invitation. We should have
been Bill and I sat at a bar doing jello shots and bitching about that together at some point.
Now, I'm sure there was a temporal disturbance.
Oh, my.
I will do anything to get an oh, my from George Takei. George, I was looking at some of these, you know, rulings in here. I mean, just sort of the key relevant facts from Walker's ruling. And, I mean, it spells it out so beautifully, doesn't it? I love this one. You know, marrying a person of the opposite sex is an unrealistic option for gay and lesbian individuals. There's an exception for people that marry Liza Minnelli. But my point is that, but you know, I mean, I just thought it must have been a beautiful thing for you to read it in actual legalese, you know, because you realize that these arguments have sounded so lame from the other side for so long, but you know, to see it really spelled out, I just thought was beautiful.
Well, I'm here at a Star Trek convention, so I haven't had a chance to read it, but I've been getting the news reportage, and yes, I thought that was brilliantly put by Judge Walker.
I think it has been translated into Klingon.
In the Star Trek universe, marriage equality as well as equality in everything is a prevailing condition.
Jim says it has been translated into Klingon, and he will send that to you.
You know, I think it most likely will be translated into Klingon before too long, because next month I'm doing a fundraiser for the Washington Shakespeare Theater, where there are going to be some performances done with Shakespeare translated into Klingon.
Oh, that's
great. I will be doing my contribution in the classic Shakespeare in English. I'm doing a scene from Julius Caesar. Cassius's Honor the Subject of My Story. And that the idea of honor is the subject of my story applies also in this situation. And most certainly Judge Walker has been honorable.
Absolutely. Would you care to do a line for us? Would you like to do a brief rehearsal here on the Stephanie Miller Show before your Shakespearean debut?
On radio, no less. Well, here it goes. Mm-hmm. I know that virtue to be in you, Brutus, as well as I do know your outward favor. Well, honor is a subject of my story. I do not know what you and other men think of this life, but as for my single self, I have as lief not be as live to be in awe of such a thing as I myself. I was born as free as Caesar. So were you. We both have fed as well, and we can both endure the winter's cold as well as he, and so forth and so on.
Oh, yeah. I can die now. George Takei has recited Shakespeare to me. All right. George, give your beautiful husband Brad an extra dirty kiss for me this morning. And
he is standing right here over me, so yes, I will give him that dirty kiss that you want.
Thank you, George. Congratulations on the ruling yesterday, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
We will live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you. See, he does stuff without me even asking.
I know.
That's great.
Oh, my.
Well, he's at the world's largest Star Trek convention right now. So
that is so cool. It's just like episode 28, The City on the Edge of Forever, which is when there was a temporal disturbance and like the board blew up and Sulu got a heart flutter and Bones had to give him a shot of quadrazine. It's great. It's really cool.
Okay, Jim. This has been another edition of the Sulu Shakespearean Festival here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Shakespeare done in Klingon. Wow.
19 minutes after the hour. Chris has set the music to Turbo Gay, the official
what?
Country,
hey.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John in Syracuse, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the California overturning the Prop 8. Hello, John.
Hello, Stephanie. Listen, you're going to probably laugh at this. You know, I'm a pretty conservative guy, but I think what's going on in this country right now, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, the recent ruling by the judge who went against...
It's the tip of a very gay iceberg. You're right, John.
On the Proposition 8.
Uh-huh.
The people overwhelmingly supported that bill, and then the judge ruled against the will.
Yes, well, if you put slavery to a vote in the South back in the day, they probably would have voted to keep that as well.
You know what happened with that Prop 8 vote? The people overruled the will of the Constitution. You can't do that in America.
Now, that's not right, because the people voted for Proposition 8. You cannot have judges overruling. We're losing our freedoms in this country.
What?
You want the freedom to gay bash and not have gay people have the same rights that you do.
No, but that's not what it's about.
Yes, it is.
You want the freedom to have equality, but you do not want them to have equality.
What
that's exactly
did you lose by?
No, that is not the same thing. To have the view that a marriage is between a man and a woman should be respected, that view, and should be upheld.
It is.
How is this disrespecting it? I think it's honoring it.
It's honoring it?
Yes.
Read
the conservative case for gay marriage by Ted Olson, and you'll understand what I mean. I think it is American. It is honoring the institution of marriage.
Well, the marriage between a man and a woman has been a tradition for, I don't know why.
Yes, and so was slavery, and so was women not being able to vote, and so was black people not being able to marry white people.
Or own land.
We're not going to agree on this, but are you mixing apples and oranges?
No, here? Absolutely not. It's apples and apples.
I want to take this little small example about this ruling to a bigger level. And the problem is, it's not about Democrats and Republicans anymore.
No, it's not. That's why Ted Olson and David Boies were on opposite sides, were on the same side of this issue.
No, it's about what's happening to this country. It's about this new world order, and it's about...
It's a gay new world order. All right. You know, there's only one thing to do now, and that is more Sulu soliloquies from Shakespeare. George Takei.
From Hamlet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against deceived troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep. Perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life.
Oh, thank you.
For who would bear the whips and scorns of time? The oppressor's wrong.
Okay, thank
you. The proud man's contumely. The pangs of despised love. The law's delay.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's
thank you.
See that? I had to get
this
that
has
part.
Been this another Sulu Shakespearean soliloquy.
Thank you.
George Takei actually did just do Shakespeare for
us. He did.
All right. Kind of a good news, bad news day for the gays. Prop 8 overturned here in California. Mm-hmm. However, Mary Hart leaving Entertainment Tonight.
I know. Oh. That's sad.
I haven't watched Entertainment
tragedy.
Tonight.
Is that legal?
No, it's the 80s. It's gotten crappy in the last few years. It's nothing but tabloid stuff.
Is
but
that legal for her to leave?
I saw her at a Nickelodeon once. Some months ago.
Really now?
Yeah.
Jan in Amherst up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hi, Jan.
Well, that's being rather nasty. I say John.
Hi, John.
You know, I have to wonder, you know, we have this Citizens United case from the Supreme Court that was gone through all the appellate, going through all the federal circuits, went up there, judicial body ruled 5-4. You guys don't like it, and it is an outrage.
No, most people don't like it, but I think 80-90% of the American people think it's an awful decision.
No, well, I would question that fact, definitely. But now we've got an individual judge who may have an axe to grind, just a little bit.
Oh, he has a gay axe to grind. Uh-huh.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, listen, you cannot state the obvious. If you mention anything about a guy's skin color or about a guy's sexuality, all of a sudden you're a homophobe or a racist. Don't pin it on me, guys.
Why would you say he has an axe to grind?
Well, you just said it.
No, you said it.
No, you said
I know you are, but what am I?
All right.
I'm not in the mood for John.
He's got an extra grain.
I'm saying.
He's wearing a robe. What do you think's going on there?
The robe of a gay guy.
Dress. 29 minutes after the hour, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You complete me. You know that? You just make me want to be a gayer man.
My pleasure. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just singing along.
Okay. So
I'll be back to
Jim likes this
college.
Song.
All right. As we all know, John Mellencamp, the official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Melissa Etheridge, the official female rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And Janice Ian, the official folk singer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, ergo.
Exactly. As we all know, Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. And we're talking about the Prop 8 ruling, and you, Chris, yelled out, and she's a homo earlier. Which
I just was, you know.
Do you know how much courage it takes to come out when you're in the country music world? Shelley Wright, I apologize. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Who called me that?
we Chris Lavoie, who is
you're fired.
He's already been fired. Shelley Wright.
Hi.
Good morning. We are very excited you're out here. This is an exciting time. Prop 8 just got overturned. You're here for a big book and record signing tonight, right?
Yeah, I've got a record signing. Can you hear me? I kind of feel like I'm cutting out a little bit.
No, we can hear you. You're at Borders tonight, right? Borders in Hollywood.
And Borders, and you're going to be there, right?
I know
you will be.
You know, if I get my cast off, I may just take my mobility scooter for a little spin over to the book signing.
Shoot. I can't believe I can't hear you.
Aw, we'll just talk past the outside. There we go. Now, at any rate, so this is a very exciting time to be out here. Prop 8 just got overturned. A lot of partying in West Hollywood, right?
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Hmm. We may have really and truly lost her cell phone now. Hello. Rebecca, try her back.
Hmm.
All right.
I think it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Homo conspiracy.
We'll get her back on. Anyway, but she's going to be at Borders Book. She has a book called Like Me, a CD called Lifted Off the Ground. They are both fabulous. I highly recommend them. And go out and support her. Give her a big progressive group hug tonight.
Yep.
One of my favorite parts of her book is she talks about going to her first gay pride parade and not wondering where she would fit in next year, whether there would be a float that says gay country singers, which would be just, you know,
just her. Yeah, I'm sure there are some, but she's the only
one. It'd be like cobwebs coming from her guitar and tumbleweeds, barroom doors flapping.
Garth Brooks' sister.
Yes.
Played bass with his band, and she that way.
Mm-hmm.
That way.
All right. That was a huge revelation at the time.
Yes.
All right. But anyway, so we will hopefully get Shelley back on, but go support her. And her record is fabulous. Can I just say, hello, I'm a liberal, and I'm like singing country music in my car. I've never listened to country music.
Really?
Love it.
Ever?
Not as twangy as you might suspect.
You like Patti Loveless.
There's a lot of great country music.
Yes, I know.
I worked in country music for 6 years.
Indeed, you did.
Yes,
before your right wing tool days and right wing radio.
You know, it's not hee haw. You know,
no, it's not. There's some great songwriting in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her CD. It's called Lifted Off the Ground.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, some great stuff on there. Check it out. Mike in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. A miracle happened in Utah yesterday.
What happened?
Unbelievable. There was a rally supporting the decision on Prop 8 in front of the Capitol, and you know what happened?
What?
Rainbows appeared in the sky.
Rainbows appeared? No way. In Utah?
Rainbows.
Or is it just because it was monsoon season?
Because it was moisture.
KSL TV, which was owned by the Mormon Church at one time. And you will see the video.
Wow. That is...
The Mormons must be freaking out.
Yeah, the Morgans. The Mormons must be like... Do you know how much money we put into that gay bashing Yes on 8?
Hate rainbows. Damn it.
Jim in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
You're
sounding great.
Thank you.
Those callers that called in about the whining and the Constitution, you know, the Constitution changes, they got to realize the Constitution protects tyranny from the majority, you know, but also...
Right, exactly.
And they were whining and griping and moaning. I kept thinking, who does this remind me of? And I came up with the word, boneresque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's what, you know, they just, they could have been a trio of them, whining and crying about, you know, you don't understand, we can't, we're losing our right. You know, and it's actually hilarious to listen to them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, mob rule, it doesn't matter what it, can you imagine, Jimmy, a number of things we could go, hey, here's a good idea and put it to a vote. You know, it doesn't mean that it's legal. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's why the Republicans want to change the Constitution, get rid of the idea of equal protection under the law, because that's somehow gay and French and common.
Exactly. Literally. TJ in Everett, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, TJ.
Hello. I've got the perfect solution for all the nutbag haters.
Yes, go ahead.
That to get marriage out of the public domain, make everyone a civil union, problem solved.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, let me... let
and
me,
then you can call it whatever you want.
Let me get to the relevant fun facts from the Prop 8 ruling. That Walker and his decision rights, Prop 8 fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gays and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. He evaluates as credible witnesses the panel of experts who testified against Prop 8 and finds fault with the credentials of several witnesses who testified against same-sex marriage, including David Blankenhorn. That guy got ripped a new one, yeah. Legally speaking. President of the Institute for American Values.
What?
Okay. Blankenhorn's testimony constitutes inadmissible opinion testimony that should be given essentially no weight, Walker writes. Snap. That's a legal snap.
Yeah.
Blankenhorn gave absolutely no explanation why manifestations of the deinstitutionalization of marriage would be exacerbated by the presence of marriage for same-sex couple. His opinion lacks reliability, and there is simply too great an analytical gap between the data and the opinion Blankenhorn preferred. I think he legally almost said something like he pulled it out of his ass. I think he said pulled it out of thin air. Something he said that was close enough.
Hmm.
The relevant facts. The relevant fun facts that Judge Walker found. Number one, marriage is and has been a civil matter subject to religious intervention only when requested by the interveners. Number two, California, like every other state, doesn't require that couples wanting to marry be able to procreate. Hello.
That's important.
Jim, I mentioned my dusty eggs earlier. Are you kidding? Let's see those dusty things. No marriage license for you. Number three, marriage as an institution has changed over time. I think we talked to George about this. You know, women were given equal status, interracial marriage, blah, blah, blah. Number four, California has eliminated marital obligations based on gender. Number five, same-sex love and intimacy are well documented in human history. Number six, sexual orientation is a fundamental characteristic of a human being. Number seven, Prop 8 proponents' assertion that sexual orientation cannot be defined is contrary to the weight of the evidence. Number eight, there is no evidence that sexual orientation is chosen, nor that it can be changed. Number nine, California has no interest in reducing the number of gays and lesbians in its population. Number 10, same-sex couples identical to opposite-sex couples in the characteristics relevant to the ability to form successful marital union. Number 11, marrying a person of the opposite sex, an unrealistic option for gays and lesbian individuals, except for Liza Minnelli. Marrying Liza Minnelli, there is a clause.
There is a clause.
That'll, if you have a big enough Shirley Temple and Dahl connection, then that's allowed. All right. We have Shelley Wright back. Good morning, Shelley Wright.
Hi, I caught the tail end of that countdown, of that list. That was brilliant.
Yes. It was, I mean, it really was such an exciting day out here in California. I mean, I don't know if you read any of it, but it was just beautiful. It was a beautiful thing.
Well, I did. You know I did. How could you think I would? I'm in West Hollywood right now. I was in a meeting, and I, you know, my phone was on on fire when I got out of the meeting.
It was set to stun. Yes.
It was set to stun. I got out of the meeting and I was invited by a bunch of folks, including the city council and the mayor of West Hollywood, to attend the rally in West Hollywood. And I was on stage as everyone was speaking. And I, you know, of course, I'm a big crybaby. You know this about me. I got very emotional. The thing that made me most emotional was hearing that the judge ruled that it is damaging to gays and lesbians to have this kind of policy enacted, Prop 8, against people like us. It is damaging to our children. and that faith-based bigotry is damaging to us. And I just, I mean, I got emotional. What a historic day, and I was here.
I know. No, I mean, it really was, I think we've been talking to, people on Ted Olson's team throughout the whole thing, and it just, I mean, to see it spelled out in legalese, and to see, like, how sort of bankrupt their arguments still are on the right, I mean, they half of it, they just conceded. They're like, it's bad for the children. Okay, no, well, never mind.
Right. Yeah, we can't think of one reason why it affects us. All right, whatever.
Right.
You know, and it's great. And it, I mean, as he also astutely mentioned from stage, he said, you know, people are going to try to poke holes in this. People who don't want this to happen are going to do everything but look at the ruling.
And this ruling
is significant.
You know, and we got here partially because of brave people like you. You know, if people have just tuned in, Shelley Wright, she is mostly known, the hot country singer that just came out.
Yeah.
Thanks. Oh, Steph. Oh.
Yeah, when I said you were going to come on, Jim gave me already, howdy-do. I'm like, she's not going to be in the studio, Jim.
Hi, Jim. But,
hello.
But, I mean, you know, that's the thing is, you know, it takes courage. And since we talked to you last, how do you feel like things are going and your reception has been? I made the confession as a liberal. I am now singing country music in my car, thanks to you.
Yeah,
I'm singing I Want to Be That Train. I'm singing Broken. All the stuff off your great CD, Lifted Off the Ground.
Well, so you're essentially in the closet in your car as a country.
I got an Obama bumper sticker and I'm blaring the country music, my friend.
Well, you know what? We're going to work on that, and at some point, we're going to get you publicly singing country music.
Yeah, it's baby steps.
Come on now, don't push me before I'm ready.
It's baby steps. I feel great, and I have to say this about being at the rally last night and being all around the nation talking about being openly gay since I came out a few months ago. It's not lost on me that this is, you know, it's markedly easier today to come out than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I am fortunate to be able to stand on the shoulders of, you know, a gentleman I spoke with last night, and I've had the chance to meet him a couple of times in the past few months. You know, he's 60 years old. He has been beaten for being gay. He has been fired for being gay. He lost, he's really gone through it. I'm fortunate I get to stand on the shoulders of men and amazing women who have come before me. And I'm just doing my part.
Well, but I think what everybody acknowledges, I was talking about my favorite chapter in your book about being on the float for gay country singers next year at the gay parade, which will consist of you and a tumbleweed and some barroom doors.
Possibly Katie Lang.
You know, my float, I think, is going to be a segue.
But tell us, how have things been going? How do you feel like your, you know, reception has been in the country world? Are you still elated? Are you feeling, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel great. I personally feel great in the advocacy work I get to do, like with GLSEN, a great organization I'm involved with, Faith in America. It feels great. It needs to be said, though, that, you know, there's a gap in my community of country music. I've gotten a lot of well wishes from my friends, Trisha Yearwood, Faith Hill, Garth Brooks, but not a lot of people are actually saying anything publicly. Mm-hmm. I get private, hey, way to go, good job, but not many people are saying publicly, good for Shelley Wright, way to go. There's just a divide. They want to tell me privately on a phone call or an email, I'm really proud of what you've done, that took courage, but no one really is willing to stand up
Shame. What a day that'll be when people can publicly, you know, as Bill O'Reilly says,
humanize this homosexual.
They could just publicly stand up and humanize a homosexual. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but you're out here doing some songwriting. Tell us what's happening career-wise.
I have been out here for, I guess, 10 days now. I've been writing with Linda Perry.
Awesome.
I guess she had it with me because she ran off for a vacation to Hawaii right in the middle of our writing and recording.
Oh, dear.
You know, I'm hard on a gal. I mean, I don't know. She took off. But she'll be back, and we're going to get back together on Monday before I go back to New York. But I've been doing, you know, press and promotion and meetings and blah, 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 all that stuff that we country music singers do. And then I've got the in-store tonight.
Yes, tonight at Borders in Hollywood on Vine, book and CD signing. Come on out and give a big progressive group hug to Shelley Wright. And you'll know, because you and I had drinks in New York before I left, you'll notice her because she's the one carrying lots of instruments, like guitars. And
I did bring a guitar to our getting together,
yes,
tonight.
I saw it from like six blocks away. I'm like, well, that must be her.
And you know, I had no reason to. I had just come from my apartment, but I just felt
you just
want to
look cool. Yeah.
Just bringing that.
Sometimes I just come, you know, wearing my headphones and microphone so people will realize that I'm a radio host.
It's like, you know, it's like a blankie.
Yeah.
We have something in common. The other thing I love in your book is the Sean Hannity story. I've also been banned from Sean Hannity's show.
Oh, you have?
But I love that, you know, you were booked as, like, fill-in country singer here that agrees with everything Sean says.
Yeah, it didn't go that way, did it?
Oh, so you were actually on and contradicted him?
I did. I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is before she came out,
wow.
I think. That's before she even got to that part.
You're a good little Republican girl. And I said, what would make you say such a horrible thing about me? And really, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I really am. I'm not into gang warfare. It's not my thing.
Right.
No, I don't like gangs. Now, Steph, we're going to dinner tomorrow night, right?
I guess so. If I can get the mobility scooter, I got to get it souped up, you know.
Okay.
No, I may. You know what? I may have leg equality today. My cast may come off. If it does, I will come on over and we'll do dinner tomorrow. And we're so thrilled you're here. And we're so thrilled you're here at such a historic time.
Yeah, I am too. And I have to tell you, just to be in California, but specifically to be in West Hollywood last night and to hear everyone speak on stage and to see the crowd, I mean, it was emotional, and I couldn't have been more proud to be here.
You know what's going to be more emotional today, and I made this promise to you. I am in the Clear Channel building here in Burbank. I'm going to break into the country station in just a little bit. I'm going to play your record like 24/7 until they send the SWAT teams in. So I'm going to get everything. Yeah, we're going to get a little publicity.
Well, if you do that in a country station these days, since I've come out, all I can say to you, my friend, is hunker down.
Jim's coming with me. He's got my back. We got a hostage crisis going.
I love Jim. I love Jim. I think I had a dream about Jim.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Do not encourage him, please, Shelley.
I can't help what I dream. He's in there.
Not encourage Squeezy.
I'll get her back.
Jim would like us to get married just for today, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, we can accommodate our friends. We do what we do.
It's like Bill Maher always says, when we say we're against gay marriage, we don't mean the girls.
No.
Did he? Yeah, of course he said that. Of course.
Shelley Wright, the book is Like Me. The CD is Lifted Off the Ground. It is fabulous. I highly recommend both. Go on out to Borders Books tonight and say, hey, I'll see you later, sweetie.
Thanks. I'll talk to you
later.
All
right. There she goes. Shelley Wright. It really is fabulous.
Wow.
Well, you worked in country music. I didn't.
I did.
It's in my car now.
Shelley Wright had a dream about me.
God.
Really, the only country music I'm familiar with is from 1992 to 1997. Because that's when I was in it.
Before then.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't exist after that.
You can't talk to Jim for the rest of the show now. He's in his own little... Don't even look in the thought bubble.
Wow. Oh, my.
51 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Okay, enough of the gay music. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Okay, we made our point.
Let's hope it's not stuck on Turbo Gay.
Yeah.
The rest of the month will be all gay music. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our Thursdays with Thad. That was kind of a lead trial balloon.
That fell through.
Thad Allen.
We now have equalized the pressure, the hydrostatic pressure of the seawater with the pressure inside the capping stack, and basically have reached a static condition in the well that allows us to have
high confidence
that there will be no oil leaking into the environment, and we have significantly improved our chances to finally fill the well with the relief wells when that does occur.
All right, stop it.
Are you even listening to the content of what he's saying?
It's very exciting. Who knew some mudslinging would finally work? The politics these days, the mud worked. They plugged it with the mud. The
we'll see.
Thing with the, yeah, that's the thing. You know, Ben, who is it? Sheldon Whitehouse, excuse me, called the use of the dispersants a grand experiment. He said it's unclear whether it would limit damage from the spill or cause greater harm.
Yeah.
It's
been banned in Britain. Corrected as poison.
Yeah, I'm cautiously like, eh.
And also, I forget who he was, another expert who's been contributing for a long time, that he noticed what I've noticed, is that when they don't want you to see something, they run the tape backwards. Mm-hmm. They show repeats.
Yep. Let's have some...
I wasn't imagining it.
Let's have some racist and homophobic humor from Dennis Miller before we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this understanding faith that's setting up shop down in Ground Zero, and we're supposed to, we understand. We're going to bridle a little, but we understand it. Just let me say this. A couple gay guys in the village go in and ask the mullah to marry them. They're both headless within a second. Okay?
Think they should be headed right there on the site. That would be inappropriate,
they've got
though.
Decapitation. They've got decap on speed dial down there.
Decap
all right?
On speed dial.
Decap
on speed dial.
Gays walked into a mullah.
That wasn't funny.
No.
It's the last gasps of homophobia and racism in our society.
Speed dial?
Whatever.
I don't get it.
I think beheading sounds dirty. I don't know. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.